Today's program is brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com.
I'm Linda Palaccio, host of A Taste of the Past. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Happy New Year, everyone. It's Heritage Radio Network's Eat Your Words, and I'm your host, Kathy Irway. I'm really excited to ring in the new year with a few familiar guests here at Heritage. We're celebrating the publication of the ebook called I Like Pig, and that book is an anthology of recipes, adventures, tales of culinary, head-to-tail cooking, of the festival known as Pig Island, which was founded by Jimmy Carbone, who's also the host of a show here called Beer Sessions. How are you?
Hey, Kathy. How are you?
So glad you're here on Sunday, not your day.
I know. It's fun to be here to talk about pigs and pig recipes.
Well, you've done a lot to further that field. We're also joined by a chef who has participated in Pig Island every year, many other fun community events, too. He's the chef owner of Kuma Inn and Uminan, and I'm not going to be able to pronounce his last name, but it is King
Fojanakong.
Thank you so much for joining.
You're welcome, Kathy. It's a pleasure to be here.
Fantastic fan of King's cooking. Would you describe it as Filipino-inspired slash fusion?
It's like, I guess it's like me, you know, Filipino Thai, born in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's the food.
Brooklyn,
Manhattan, a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything. And you're fond of using pork belly and all heads and tails, you know, nose to whatever.
Yes, yeah, we love taking the entire animal, breaking it down, using it for different dishes.
So that's really the theme of this wonderful cookbook and the event itself, because all the chefs get a whole pig from a nearby farm, usually Violet Hill or what was the farm?
Last year it was mostly from Flying Pigs Farm.
Flying Pigs.
Each year it's changed. Flying Pigs, we'll probably be using them again mostly next year. They've been real supportive.
And just one note,
so people know about the event.
Yeah.
I mean, one reason it started was that people questioned us. You know, I'd done some other food events, and they said, why can't you do a sustainable meat event? And then I thought, well, we might as well just buy pigs from local farmers and give them to the chefs, and that's the start of sustainable cooking. And guys like King and Jacques Gauthier from Palo Santo,
Who's joining us soon.
I knew them very well, and I had worked with them on other events. So they were some of the first chefs that I reached out to.
But it's such a great concept, because with one whole pig, you can go in so many different directions. You can do so many different things, and these chefs are really creative. And I learned so much from going to this festival. King, you know, your inspired dishes. What was the last one that you guys had?
The last one, wow.
Well, in the book you had the, what is it, the lumpia?
Oh, the lumpia, yeah. We take that with the leftover meat that we don't use at the event, and we grind that up and make a spring rolls out of them.
Mm-hmm.
But at the event, I remember we did the... We did pork adobo. So we braised the shanks and the legs, the shoulders, and with the belly, we roasted the belly lechon style. So with the skin, almost like a Filipino porchetta.
Oh, wow. See, these were such memorable dishes, and you have the recipe for King's Lumpia Shanghai, the spring rolls in the ebook. So, you know, this is just such a fun community event. Thanks for doing this each year, Jimmy. The local farmers really appreciate it. But this cookbook really, I think, brings together the creativity and the fun of the whole event. It's an ebook, and it is beautifully photographed, filled with little essays about, you know, why this event exists, spotlights on each of the chefs and their interesting work outside of the event, of course, and their signature dishes. But why an ebook, Jimmy?
Well, there's this guy, Nick Foschold. He was the editor for a long time of the Tasting Table. And I remember a few years ago, he had his own little online publishing company he started. He was doing some apps.
Oh, okay.
He did
yeah.
the Italian pantry kitchen app with Sarah Jenkins.
Hmm.
And so I said, oh, I'd love to do some kind of an app or something related to Pig Island to help promote it and to give credit back to the chefs.
I see.
And to showcase their recipes.
So the app evolved into this
full Yeah, and then he recommended, he said, you know, just for the cost and for where you're at, he said he suggested doing an ebook. And then that's when we talked to Rachel.
We
just
a
walked in, Rachel Wharton.
Hello, Rachel Wharton. Thanks for joining us.
Yes.
And it was really the whole ebook is really her because, you know, we went through the first 3 years of different chefs and their recipes, and she kind of gave the vision to pick out certain recipes showcasing different parts of the animal. And then she just walked in, which is awesome.
So, Rachel, you're the co-writer of this cookbook. So have you ever made an ebook before?
No, this was my first one.
Yeah.
And there's two different kinds. You can actually do one that's more static, like a PDF that people can only open and view the way you would like a digital file
right.
of a magazine.
Uh-huh.
And then there's the version that we did, which is that anyone can read on any tablet device,
mm-hmm.
which is, I'd never done anything like that before, which require, you know, it's like the 1997 of ebookness, I think right now, where you can only, there's very little design you can work with. It's basically your font size,
a template
and color,
yeah.
and you've turned it in as a Word document. It's really interesting. It's so we were really lucky to work with a really, great graphic designer I was able to say, okay, what can you do in Microsoft Word? So it was fascinating to try and figure out the way to make something legible, digestible, just using text, essentially
yeah.
just text. And pictures are the same way, you know, like in a book or on a website, text can wrap around photos. This is super not even talking about the food.
Right.
So with an ebook that's supposed to be readable on any device, you basically can just plunk a picture in there and it's gonna, and depending on the way you have your, if you have your iPhone up or you have your iPhone on its side, the picture looks good in one way, but not the other if it's a standard photo. So we finally realized that there's a place that had figured out how to make a picture look good in that format all along, which was Instagram. So we made the picture squares for that for that purpose. And then I think it looks, I was really proud about how it came out.
It looks great. I never knew that. I mean, it looks like it's a totally, you know, it's meant to be that exactly the way you guys put it together. It is really interesting, though, that we're sort of in like the early pioneering 1997, as you said,
yeah.
you know, days of figuring out how to make ebooks.
I remember the first time I learned how to do HTML. I remember when I got text wrapped around a picture of a fish, and I was like so psyched. Like it was like, yes, I did it. Which I can't do that. I mean, now it's like way over my head.
I mean, with food publishing, this does make a huge difference. Like you want text to correspond with images in a way that makes sense and adds to the experience and the sensual richness of the tales of food that you're telling.
Well, we also had a really great photographer who is covering the he's covering the real news right now, so he can't be here. So I was like, oh, you're gonna do these amazing pictures and then they're gonna look like crap on somebody's iPad mini. So we really wanted to try and make them look as good as we possibly could. And I do like the ebook now that I've done one, I was like, oh my god, I should just do them all the time. I should do an ebook of my trip to LA. I should do an ebook of, you know, my six favorite pasta dishes.
Yeah, we should all make a little ebook album of our vacation.
I know, we could just, it's like a big crafting project. Everybody gets together and has to produce an ebook by the end of the night.
It's so cool, you know, figuring things out as the technology goes on. And you know, with how sophisticated we've gotten in digital, you know, blogs and, like, as you said, Instagram. And it's really surprising to me that ebooks haven't taken on in the way that, like, I'm really surprised that there's not more books, even cookbooks, that start out as an ebook.
Or
they have a lot of advantages.
It's like even ebook versions of cookbooks still look, they basically just take the file and
you can flip through it.
Yeah, and it doesn't look that great.
Mm.
And it's not that user friendly.
Well, as Jimmy was saying before, an ebook is really forever. It doesn't go out of print.
We could always do V3.
It doesn't get splattered with sauce or get, you know, destroyed.
I don't know. I feel like the cover of my, the face of my iPhone and my iPads are actually always splattered. You guys probably the same way, right?
But the book, the e-book itself is okay. Your phone might not be okay.
Yeah.
So Jimmy, was this an exciting, you know, new project for you?
No, it really was. And I think that, you know, Rachel and John really took it. Like she said, they went, it wasn't just, you know, the text and some photos. They really spent a lot of time on it. And it took a lot longer than I thought, but for the better. I mean, it really, by the time it was done, it was ready to be. You know, it wasn't like we had anything done. Like last summer, we went and did some special photo essays. We went to Jonathan White's bobbling farm, and we went to Sam Barbieri, a competitive barbecue. We did that with Patty Jackson. Made a codicino, and the last one was at the East Village Meat Market, a butchering demo. So, like, that was something with the ebook we really were able to grow with. And I can see in the future doing a lot more photo essay type things in the ebook format.
Yeah, those are hard to get right, though, for exactly the, because you can only do, you can either do one photo at a time and text underneath it, still in this day and age, or I expect it all to change soon.
Yeah, it seems really fun because this is such a community effort, too. I mean, it's an anthology of recipes from all these chefs, like King, Rachel, there's a recipe by you, there's a recipe by me. There's great chefs, don't get me wrong. You know, how many chefs, Jimmy?
I think it's about 25 recipes.
Although you had a couple of recipes, Jimmy.
Rachel, how difficult was it to work with 20-some chefs to put this all together?
Well, it's all, I've done a couple of cookbook projects like that before, and you're just hounding people. And it's also, actually, the hardest part is, that was 100 of them.
Yeah.
You're just trying to get, you need diversity of recipes, and everyone gives you a different format. And so it's actually really fun because you never know what you're going to get from someone, but it's hard to manage. You want the end product to not be repetitive.
Who was the worst to work with?
The worst to work with?
Besides me.
No. My mom says, Jimmy, you're the favorite recipes. She's already made three of them.
Nice.
Let's see. No, you can't ask that. Who's the worst to work with?
But, you know, my recipes are more like, because I know you took these recipes and adapted them for home cooking. And that's kind of how I cook to begin with. So my recipes are things that I would cook at home as well as a restaurant.
Well, it's hard to, I mean, some of them, it's actually still, you can get very good quality pork, but it's hard to get any cut of good quality pork. It's actually still hard to get a head or a
tails.
Trotter.
You have to special do some order. Leg work.
It is hard. It's probably easier if you're a chef.
King, how was it, did this affect your decision of the recipe that you entered in the cookbook? I know you had the crispy spring rolls, which sounds very home cook friendly. It's not the head.
I think I even requested that.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because I think the other parts were already taken.
Well, also because ground pork, because, you know, I think when we started, remember that op-ed in the Times about how ground beef is what everyone should be eating? Because Jimmy, I'm sure, remembers this more than I do. So I think right when I was like, we need a recipe for ground pork, since that'll be the cheapest thing.
That's what Patrick Martin's always says. Yeah. He says ground meat will save the world.
Yeah, so that was and also just because I like lumpia.
Well, how did you ground? I'm curious now, because you had a whole pig. How do you ground the pork without some industrial device? Did you do that, King? Did you put it through?
Yes. My friend has a butcher shop nearby. Mm. So we just. Oh.
Which one?
Brought the leftover cuts.
I see. That's a really smart way to use all the pieces. And
ooh, I need a good Chinatown butcher shop connect.
Could you just mince it, though? Take a cleaver and just kind of go back and forth?
For that specific dish, you could, but you'd have to make it really fine.
Ah,
yeah,
okay.
It's going to come out a little chewy if it's...
get a workout here.
Yeah.
Favorite recipe from Pig Island?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, there were a couple that were... I was very proud when I mean, making head cheese was really, I'd never done that before. Cooking a whole head multiple times
head cheese,
was really
that's
cool.
That's a valuable recipe to have. And everyone
I really
makes
liked
it.
Yours. Actually, Jimmy just handed me your recipe, but I actually really liked it. I've made it a couple times.
Mine?
Yes. Well, and you guys, I can't remember, you probably used belly or loin. I think at the competition.
Shoulder.
And we had so many recipes. So I applied what you did to country style ribs, which I always had. You always found a ton of them in North Carolina.
Oh,
and it
cool.
It worked really well.
So that would be me and Noah Berlin's country style ribs char siu on buns. That was a fun.
You know, I really like that recipe.
And, it takes me back.
And the Slow Food USA blog, they have a weekly series called Nose to Tailgating. Mm. And they posted that last month.
Really?
So your recipe is on there. But I love that recipe, Rich, because you adapted it. So at the first Pig Island, Kathy, you and Noah made more like pork buns.
We made Chinese steam buns, and I remember we made them at the event on Governor's Island, and we needed something warm to rise the yeast dough in, because we didn't actually make the buns beforehand. And we ended up plopping them on somebody's, like, this big, I guess, like, of dough to rise it on somebody's warming barbecue area, and it actually worked. And
how many did you make?
It was amazing.
We did a lot. And just looking at each of these recipes really takes me back to the event itself and how colorful and diverse it was. We have another chef who just joined us. But we're going to cut to a quick little commercial intro, and we'll be right back chatting more with everyone from the E-Pig. Whatever.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Are you a locavore? Our Northeast regional forager for Whole Foods Market sure is. She spends her time traveling around the New York City metro area sourcing the best new or interesting artisanal and handcrafted local products for our purchasing teams at the local store level. Part of our commitment to our local suppliers includes assisting them with the process of getting their products sold at our stores. Whether it's suggesting packaging designs, pricing, or distribution methods, she's helping some of the area's best new products reach savvy shoppers at Whole Foods Market stores. Today, New York. Tomorrow, the world. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
All right, we're back chatting more about the I Like Pig ebook. It was written by Jimmy Carbone and Rachel Wharton, and with many recipes contributed by chefs such as King Funam.
Fojanakon.
Fojanakon. And we have another chef joining us. It's Jacques Gauthier from Palo Santo and Taco Santo. Wait, is that how it's called?
Yeah, Taco Santo and Palo
cool.
Santo. Yeah.
All right, thanks for joining.
Thank you.
So, as you know, this Pig Island is an annual event. It's coming up in September again in Brooklyn. Watch out for tickets much later on, I guess.
PigIsland.com, yeah.
Much later on. But in the meantime, we're having a little celebration of the ebook at the end of this month at Jimmy's number 43 bar. It's going to be a cook-off.
It was Kathy's idea, she said, to ask amateurs to cook some of the recipes from the book. So you can contact us, foodkarma@gmail.com, if you'd like to enter. It's the last Sunday of January.
And you don't have to use a whole pig, although it would be fun if you wanted to. But
wait, can they get creative? Do they have to do one from the book?
No, but it could be just inspired, similar to how the chefs are given a whole pig and just inspired to do something with
it.
Yeah,
I'm actually curious. So
you could do sides too, that sort of thing. But the thing is, just go to ilikepig.com, download the book, and if you get inspired by a recipe, email us, foodkarma@gmail.com.
You can put your spin on a recipe,
Cook-off, Kathy Irway, Pig Island cook-off at Jimmy's number 43.
It should be fun.
Anything goes as long as there's a little pig in there.
That's what I like too. But one thing I want to say about Jacques and Palo Santo, talking about how some of these events started, I saw Jacques at so many events over the years, Just Food events and edible
market.
Events and green markets. And he was always doing like using the masa and making the tortillas on the spot, which kind of was like, you're like, that's what you should do at events. So he's kind of been the ultimate event chef in my book.
It's definitely a spectacle, yeah. It definitely catches the attention of those walking around, and it smells great too.
You know, it was actually an idea that was presented to me by the Edible Magazine events. It was the first time we did that, I think, was at the first Good Spirits, and that was at the Bell House. And their idea was, why don't you just, put on more of a show, put on a cooking demonstration. So you're not just handing out taste, but you're actually showing people how you made them.
Was the original Sam still the... director?
I think it was Rachel.
Rachel Gravel.
She did some really cool stuff, Rachel, including her own restaurant and beef jerky line.
That's right. So I think that, you know, the amateur competition inspired by Pig Island makes a lot of sense because, like, chefs have begun using more head to nose, or what is it called? Head to tail, all parts of an animal cooking. I think home chefs have really adopted that a little bit more just to the extent that you see people using pork belly, which didn't really exist in home kitchens
before. Pork belly is now actually no longer a cheap cut.
No.
And read old newspaper articles from not even 10 years ago and be like, you should use pork belly.
I remember it's an ethnic cut. There's so many different cultures, so many different directions you could go with it. So fun. But I remember going to a butcher shop just like 5 or 6 years ago and asking for fresh pork belly, and they were like, you mean bacon? I'm like, No. That's what I...
But I'm actually curious what the new cheap cut... Like, what should I actually be buying? Country-style ribs, maybe? I don't know.
Let's ask these chefs.
Yeah, no, right.
King or Jacques?
Because pork belly isn't anymore, is it?
I'm going to go with brains.
Brains.
Ugh.
Tongue? I don't know. Cheeks?
Eyeballs?
Wait, a pig tongue?
Even the cheeks and ears have been going up.
Yeah.
The price,
cheeks
noticed.
Are good.
But they're like... I mean, I
would
beef
say what
cheeks
Kim did,
is great.
King did with the lumpia. I would just say, you're going to get... If anything, you're going to get like a smorgasbord or just... different parts ground.
What about
know?
Guanciale? That's a cheek, right?
Yeah. Okay. I made a cheek for the cookbook, and I had to work with a whole jowl and cut it down, which was like way above my skill set, but I like muddled my way through it.
Yeah, I think that people are discovering more and more.
The pork cheeks with peaches.
Yeah, right? So I had to start with the whole...
And those are the Danish chefs, right?
I think that was the piggery.
Oh, the piggery?
I'm actually really curious about how you guys plan for the event. So you get the pig, like...
How do you do that?
You already know what you're going to do. You've done these things. You guys are like old hat at these
things.
I
know. They're veterans. I think these are like the most veteran food event
like the ones where you actually have to do things like... So you get the pig like 3 days or 4 days in advance?
Yeah, something like that.
What did you do last year?
Well, the most recent one, Jacques. Usually, like the Wednesday, the chefs pick up the pigs, and the event's on Saturday. But do you always make the pig's head tacos?
What we've done is broken down the pig. That's one day's work. The next day, put it in the oven, and then when I show up the next morning early, take it from the oven straight to a cooler, and then transport it hot right to the event, and then fire up the grill and put it on the grill so it's already cooked and it's just finished then on the grill.
Yeah, I remember the first time when I did it, the challenging part was getting to Governor's Island, and I thought, oh yeah, we could get there like, you know, maybe early in the morning, 5 in the morning, start roasting up pig, and oh no, you're not allowed on the island till 8-9 a.m. I'm like, wait, it opens at 11. So it was quite a challenge, and I remember I had like 6 pigs one year.
You roasted them right that morning.
No. I did them at the restaurant, like what Jacques was talking about. That you have to kind of pre-cook them ahead and figure out how you could finish it at the event. So that's what we wound up doing. We wound up boning them out, roasting them, and so we roasted all the pork bellies. And then when we got to the event, we fired up the grills and then finished them on the grill. Chopped them up, serving with garlic rice, and we made a sauce out of the liver and the heart, and used that for one of the dishes one year.
Oh, that sounds awesome. I missed that.
Whole pig roast, is that familiar to your background in Filipino cuisine, Kim?
Oh, yeah, that's a huge,
huge
all-time number one party favorite food is the whole roasted pig and lumpia, the spring rolls. You go to any type of celebration, and Yeah, you got to have a whole pig there.
That's, you got to have it.
Do you, how do you normally do it? Do you dig a pit or is it under leaves?
It's,
or?
No, it's above ground. Usually it's above ground, hot coals on the bottom.
Uh-huh.
And so you just have kind of a spit there, and then you have a spit with a pig on it and just kind of
turn it.
And you just roast it. A lot of times it's by hand, you know, back in the country because you're doing it outdoors. So you hire a couple of guys who you'll tell you'll feed later and just keep turning it and turning it for between 4 to 6 hours, depending how big it is.
Is that what you do here? Do you have the rotisserie?
No. Here I don't have the rotisserie. Here, well, we do kind of have a rotisserie, but it's like a standing oven.
Oh.
It's like a vertical roaster. And then the nice thing about having the roasted pig in the Philippines, after the celebration, nothing gets to waste. At the end of the evening, when you have bones and leftover parts, you chop that all up and throw it in a big pot. Add some soy sauce, vinegar, sugar, and garlic, and that becomes another dish.
That's
and that comes for the stragglers later on who missed the early party, or you have that the next morning to cure your hangover.
What is that called?
A stock or something?
That's called, now it escapes my mind, but it'll come back to me.
Okay, we should do all this at the next year's Pig Island.
You know when Kings talks about food, he starts smiling. Look at that smile.
Amazing. So Jacques, this is, you know, tacos, that is famous for using so many different parts of so many different animals. What are some traditions for using, like, a whole pig in Latin cuisine?
There was one of my sous chefs. He went back to Mexico for a holiday and came back with this video where there was this butcher. He went from a, you know, whole pig to all these different dishes in, like, you know, in a couple hours. And he, you know, shot this all on video. And he just used every single part. And it was, like, you know, so methodical. It's like, okay, the head comes off. The head goes in this pot. That gets started cooking. The skin comes off. That goes into the fryer to make chicharron. Every single part had its place.
Wow.
And then, you know, he was, you know, started early in the morning. And he's setting up his market stand where he's going to sell all these different types of, you know, dishes made with pig. And every single part had its place. And then by, like, noon when you know, lunch rush hits, he's got these clay pots, and each clay pot has, you know, its dish in it.
Wow, that sounds awesome. Like a crazy delicious jigsaw game.
And each one has different spicing, or is done and treated in a different way?
Yeah.
Except for carnitas, I guess, which is, like, you can pick by the piece with carnitas sometimes, right?
Yeah, carnitas, like, you know, just kind of slow fried. And yeah, everything, you know, there's different types of moles. That's in Mexico.
Sauces.
Then in the Caribbean, I think you'd more likely see the whole pig cooked, like in the cajachino, or in, like, you know, or just on a fire spit roasted the whole thing.
Cool.
They do a cajachino and all of it.
That's a Cuban thing, right?
Yeah, that's a big thing in Cuba, is that the cajachino.
What do you do with a snout? Any suggestions? Is that a thing? Does anyone
make a dish at the restaurant. It's called a sisig, and that's the snout, the cheeks, and the ears.
Really?
Chop it all up. We braise it first, then chop it all up, and then you pan fry it. But at the restaurant, what we do is we do pan fry it with chilies and garlic, and usually it's served traditionally in the Philippines, like, in a sizzling platter.
Wow.
And it's a bar snack. But at the restaurant, we do it in tacos.
Mm, so it's, like, chopped up, nice little morsels.
Yeah, crispy.
Cool.
And I remember the name of the dish now. The whole pig is called lechon.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you chop it up and braise it for the leftovers, that's called paksiu.
Paksiu. Are you breaking down? Are you getting? Do you have to, like, buy a 10-pound bag of snouts? Or
yeah, we have to buy extra. Right? We don't get enough from the one pig, so we usually buy extra, and that's why I know the prices are going up for the snouts and
for
the ears.
Everything. You're right. It is brains.
It's your fault.
And then brains.
Yeah. May I ask Jacques a quick question?
Yeah.
So Jacques, one of my favorite dishes from Pig Island is your pig head taco. How do you make the pig head? And just walk me through that recipe, because it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, we get the whole pig, the head. Actually, that's a funny thing that you mentioned that, because we get our whole pigs every week from Heritage.
Is that called cabeza?
Cabeza.
Okay.
And we actually get our pigs are special. They have two heads each pig, and so
the
because we use so much of it. You know, that's like one of those things that's always on the special board is the cabeza tacos. So the head gets cooked down in beer, and just start with water because you'll end up with stock. The head.
Jimmy's
beer.
Liking this recipe already.
It's in the book.
Yeah. Yes.
Avocado leaves, some spices, a couple other things, mirepoix, and just let it simmer for at least a few hours, maybe, 4 hours, 5 hours. Overnight is okay as long as it's on a low enough heat. And then it comes out, it gets cooled down, the bones come out, it gets cooled down, and it makes sort of like a pig head terrine or like a head cheese, but then it gets chopped up and fried.
Ooh.
Then in the
tacos. In its own fat.
Yeah, it kind of has enough fat. You can put it in a dry pan and it renders.
Collagen-y stuff. Fat,
right? How many? Okay, so like you're doing two heads a week?
Between the two restaurants, yeah, we do like a head a week at each restaurant for specials. We use more at the taqueria usually. It's like a head or two at the taqueria one.
That was so you guys because the pig head that I ended up was gigantic. I had to like buy a new pot because they're not tiny. Those pig heads.
Yeah. Yes. Each head is like a couple hundred tacos.
Yes.
Yes. These are truly pros at head to tail eating and cooking. Wow, thank you so much for sharing some of these secrets in the Pig Island ebook. I Like Pig. We all like pig. I guess that's about all the time we have, but definitely check out ilikepig.com. Rachel, did you have something else?
Oh, no, she's like, that's it. It's gone so fast.
But anyway, check it out again this September. Jimmy?
I just want to give it a few, because really this whole event's been about, besides the farmers, the chefs, and, besides Kathy Irway, Rachel Warden, Jacques Gauthier, and King Fajanagong, some other chefs, include Doug Kiles, Heather Carlucci, Joe Dobias from Joe Doe's, the guys from Ovelia, Michael from Butter. There's some chefs that have done it almost every year. So there's a lot of great people that have
George
been a part of this.
George from Egg.
George Weld and Evan, So I just want to say thanks for having us on the show.
Thank you so much for joining, and thanks for having this wonderful community event. Hope to see many more exciting years. So thanks, everyone at Heritage. We'll see you next week on Eat Your Words.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.